Today, our exciting daf in Masechet Sukkah is daf Yodalad, and we're holding up that Halak and Mishnah. I just wanted to mention the last thing that we had learned yesterday about the idea of Yodas. We were talking about a pitchfork, and the Gemara ended with that beautiful discussion of why it is that the tefillah of tzaddikim is considered to be the equivalent of a pitchfork, as we talk about Vayetar, and the Vayetar is Vayetar lo Hashem, and being Oter la Hashem. So similar to the exact same word as an Eter, right? So, okay, so there the Gemara said beautifully that the Eter is Mahapech, the Tvua, so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Das is changed through Tvila from Midat Achzariyut to Midat Rachmanut. So there is a beautiful Tana Devei Leo that the Tzidkas HaTzadik brings, that it says over there that Shivchi Kamayim Libech Nochach Pnei Hashem. So it says over here Nochach. It says by the Milchomais, it says Elu Nochach Elu. So that this is the ponim, the exact Rosh, I'll look up. Of the Tanan Elio. But anyway, it says, if it hadn't been for those two psukim, anybody would have suggested such a thing would have been Chayav Misa. Because what it's saying is that the same way that a war, you have one encampment facing the other encampment and hoping to win and to basically destroy the other, that's what Tefillah is like. That there's a getter of Tefillah in which you're going out to defeat Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The truth is, we find, of course, this lotion of Nitzchuni Banai and other issues, the Gabe Halacha, but we also see that a tefillah is called Vayigash Elav. Vayigash is betefillah. And that means it's also Milchoma. So it's not really such a big Kiddush. But it's a different way of looking. One of the Gedarim of tefillah is that you're really trying to persuade, so to speak, of a different way of seeing something, that because of the fact that you're sharing your das with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and opening your heart in that fashion, that it's ki'ilu, you're able to affect an actual change in the anhaga, which is the opposite of the Parshas HaShavua. We're talking about the Etchanan. We're over there, that all of Bakosha is only in terms of Matnas Chinam, so that's where it's the getter of Bakosha, personal Bakosha, in terms of Matnas Chinam, but we're talking about the Hanhogas Hashem in an Inyan, it's mutter to actually be Isaac in Tefillah as a getter of Milchomas. It's important to keep in mind, remember, there's 10 different Lashonas for the getter of Tefillah. Anyway, I forgot about mentioning that yesterday, and it's important not to, especially in Parshas Vayetchanan, it's important to remember the different aspects of tefillah. Okay, anyway, we're holding over here at the beginning of the daf, and that means I would have used it. I mean, our Richie seems to be hiding again. I thought maybe he would show his face today. Ah, you know, so that even though it's the beginning of the daf, since I already spoke about this other issue, why don't we have an introduction of our Capitan, and we'll make Barnea, who just arrived, happy. Go for it, Capitan. We have been studying up to now what we knew as the Gezerat Otsar. So this was anything that might be a reason for people to make a mistake and use something that had been put up not l'shem tzel, but for storage, for drying, or whatever. And now suddenly you may decide, be nimlach alav for a sukkah. You're not allowed to use those things even where it was put up specifically for tzel. That's basically the idea of Gezerat Otsar. Today, we're starting a new sugya, another wonderful sugya, of the dinim of schach that have to do with what's called Gezerat Tikra. And remember, it's a fascinating thing that the Torah didn't really explain what is meant in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvah to sit in a sukkah. I mean, we know it can't mean to sit in your house. That's the whole point. Leave your house, enter the sukkah. We know that the word sukkah implies sichuch, and that it's there. We brought a raya that the whole idea is for tzel. That we do know. But what exactly is required to make the distinction between your home and the sukkah? I mean, it can't just be the fact that this is like a vacation home and that's your permanent home, because then there would be nothing that would be mechayev hakora, that the type of thing that you're sitting in is any different than your home. And this gives, basically, this gives a lot of issues. You know, the kind of things that people say that is popular. You know, you have to be able to see the stars. And then the question is, what about if it's so thick that rain can't penetrate? And what about if it looks like a normal ceiling? And stuff like that. So where, in fact, is the basic halacha defined? Clearly something that can be easily confused with a normal ceiling, and that's what you're going to be sitting in your sukkah, and you're sitting under what appears to be normal roofing, then that would be something that might even be puzzle d'oraita. But you can easily see that it would be puzzle midrabbanan. So let's imagine a case where you took little thin pieces of roofing material that were not mekabel tuma, and there were gedele min hakarka. So you used, let's say, slats, thin slats. You put the slats next to each other, and you nail them down. So now you've got like a very tight roofing over your sukkah, and it's made out of what, appears to be kosher schach because of the fact that it was gedele min hakarka, and it's not mekabel tuma. So would that be a kosher sukkah? And if so, I mean, how wide could these slats be? Let's say that you took, you know, the kind of flooring where one piece fits into the next piece. I forgot what you call them, but what's the word for it? You know, that sort of, what do they call it? Yeah, like parquet, except the long ones. The parquet ones are sometimes small. So, I mean, would that be kosher sukkah? I mean, that would be like a very tight roof that would actually, you know, prevent anything from coming in. So is that a sukkah? Rav Moshe was actually asked to Paskin about that thing. And we'll see from the Gemara today and the sugya today what the basic requirements are. But that's one of the fascinating things. It's really hard to know. Like, at what point are you really just still in your house, even though it's not the normal house that you live in? So the first thing that we want to talk about is a standard building material that you would normally make your roof of a house out of. And this we want to define up front by how wide these boards are. So whatever a standard board of building, a ceiling would be, then the question would be, what if I don't put it like really tight? You know, I just use boards like that. But, I mean, there's plenty of room between them, and it's obvious that I'm not making a permanent home. So what about that? At what point does the material become perhaps even possible innately? Because it's a material that is used for roofing. Even that's a possibility, right? So let's examine all of those questions. So the first thing we begin is with the machlokas in our Mishnah about utilizing boards for a Mishnah, for a sukkah. Misachim b'nisarim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, v'Rabbi Meir oser. You can actually cover the sukkah with boards. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, no, you can't. Now this still leaves up in the air what you're defining as a board, right? I mean, obviously, if we're going to be using these thin little pieces of wood, I mean, at one point, they're nothing other than the equivalent of branches, I would think, no? So, I mean, that's the first thing we're going to have to get into in the Gemara is, what are we talking about in this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir? What precisely is a neser that Rabbi Meir assers? Okay, we'll get to that immediately after the Mishnah. Natana leha nesa shurachav arba'at tvachim. Suppose you put one board, which is four tvachim wide, on a sukkah. So then it would still be kosher. The sukkah itself is kosher, but you cannot sleep or eat underneath that board itself. So what that means is that the board itself is not kosher for a sukkah. So therefore, if you're sitting under it, you're not sitting in the part of the sukkah that is under kosher schach. However, the rest of the sukkah that has kosher schach is kosher. Now, that is not so poshut, because later on we're going to see that there's a machloket about what psal or what type of sukkah that, depending on the size, a sukkah gedol or a sukkah katana, which we're going to define later on, what piece of schach that is posel, that runs across the entire sukkah, would posel the entire sukkah, even though there was area to sit under that was kosher. So one thing we do know, and that we've already discussed, that if the schach which is posel is around the border, so that it's between the top of the wall or the virtual wall that reaches up to the schach, and the beginning of the schach kosher. Over there we have up to Arba Amot, which is very wide. Remember we had the case of a house where the roof collapses in the middle, and then you want to use the walls of the house for your circus. We have up to Arba Amot to get to the sides of the house, and we ended up saying that's true even if it's a virtual wall that is really only 10 tefachim high, and it's coming up because of the God Asik. It doesn't matter. It would still be kosher. So, I mean, what it might be referring to over here is a board like that, that you put on the edge of the sukkah. Okay, on the edge of the sukkah, on the border somewhere of the schach, I understand that I have up to Arba Amot, and that's not going to be possible. Why? Dofen Akuma. But you can't sleep under it because it has a din of a dofen. It doesn't have a din of schach. Now, that's what you're going to have to say, and that indeed is what Rashi says, because he understands that what we're talking about over here is a sukkah kitana, in which even one strip of the shear of Arba Tfochim could possibly the entire sukkah. So if you're going to put a neser from end to end on a sukkah, which is Arba Tfochim, in the middle somewhere, then you're going to passel the whole sukkah, even though you may have area that is kosher schach elsewhere. So Rashi says that the issue of utilizing a neser shurach of Arba Tfochim is basically just the standard din of Dofen Akuma. Okay, we'll see more of this when we get to that sugya, because it's really a machlokas later on about whether you could pass a sukkah just by using one strip of Arba Atfachim. But this way, the Mishnah makes sense even according to the most machmer shita, and Rashi wants the Mishnah to be safe and sound according to everybody, because the Gemara doesn't ask from this Mishnah on anybody, so clearly there's a way to understand the Mishnah that we could still say you could use a neser like this. Now, let's talk about what the size of the neser is, because this Mishnah leaves us completely up in the air. Or Marab. Machloket ben esarim sheyesh ben arba'ah. Look, I mean, the only question over here, which according to Rabbi Meir, a board is possible for the sukkah, that is only where we're talking about a board that is commonly used for building purposes, meaning on top for a roof. And that would require four tefachim, not to be confused with the four amot, of course, of Dofen Akuma. Nothing to do with that. Four tefachim was our standard, remember, all the way through Masechet Shabbat and Masechet Erevin, and we discussed it even recently here in Sukkah already, that four tefachim is considered to be the area of a makom chashuv. So once you have something that is four tefachim wide, over there, Rabbi Meir says it's possible. Why? And here's the first time in our Masechet that we have met those fateful words of Gzera Tikra. And this becomes very, very fundamental in deciding what you're going to be using for your schach. And this is because Rabbi Meir holds it's possible because eat like Gzera Tikra. He holds that the Rabbonan answered any type of schach that could cause you to think that, well, okay, so for a sukkah, we don't really need something that's a fundamentally different building type. We just need to be going into something that we didn't use all year round. And that would be wrong. Because even if you didn't use it all year round, if it satisfies the general sense of the permanent place in which a person would live, then it's not called a sukkah. So therefore, in order to avoid that misunderstanding, the Rabbanan answered even things that are similar to a standard roof. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says, this is us. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no such gezera. Let like gezera tikra. So according to Rav, the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is a machlokas in the extreme. Rabbi Yehuda does not buy into a concept called gezera tikra at all. This is Rav's approach. In which case, Rabbi Yehuda is saying under any and all circumstances, there would be no problem of using even a wide board, making your entire sukkah covered with these wide boards of Arba Tefachim, it's perfectly okay. But if, says Rav, the Nisarim were less than Arba Tefachim, nobody would say that it's osur. Even Rabbi Meir only had the Gzeirat Tikra in the case where it is more than, it's four Tefachim. Where it's less than four Tefachim, there's no Gzeirat. Shmuel says, no, on the contrary. The Machlokes is only where they don't have four tefachim, but if they have four tefachim, of course Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the concept of Gzeirat Tikra, except he was only arguing about whether the concept of Gzeirat Tikra extends even to something which is so small that it's not the standard size board that you would use to build a roof. Fine, So then we have a very, very big machlokas here about how to understand the Mishnah. So if Yesh ben Arba'ah, then everybody would agree, says Shmuel, that it's possible. Asks the Gemara on Shmuel from Seichel. I mean, what do you mean if it's less than Arba'ah? How much less than Arba'ah? I mean, are you saying that even if they're less than three Tvachim, meaning that there are within the shear of Lovud? Also, I mean, would you also say over there that a few pachot mishlosha? I mean, if that's just basically utilizing bamboo. I mean, it's the same thing as bamboo, isn't it? What's the difference between a stick of wood and a stick of bamboo wood? So that's just cutting bamboo. It's like using cane sticks. That's the main way that we make a sukkah. So how could you say that according to Rabbi Meir that would be possible? Omer of Papa, well, no. You have to understand. I mean, Shmuel is taking for granted that you're going to make sense of what he's saying. Shmuel is saying like this, Hakikama. If there's Arba'ah Tvachim, so everybody holds it's possible. That's the Mokum Choshev. Everybody agrees that there's a concept of Gzeras Tikra, and this is the Gzeras Tikra. But if the question over here is somewhere in the middle, because if it's less than Shlosha Tvachim, of course everybody agrees that it's kosher. So first, let's establish the broad parameters, okay? There is a Gzeras Tikra, which definitely applies to four Tvachim. There cannot be a Gzeras Tikra on anything that's less than three Tvachim, because, I mean, that's considered to be basically sticks. Man pokas min Shlosha direkos chira. My time, akani biyamaninu. The machlokas is the middle. The middle hasn't been defined. So anything that is from three tvachim up till four tvachim, I hold that's where the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda obtained. So Mar Savas Rabbi Yehuda holds that, look, if it's not four tvachim, then it doesn't have chashivut. And it doesn't have the shi'ur of the chashivut of makom that was so fundamental throughout Masechet Shabbat and Erevin. And therefore, we didn't make a gzera on something that isn't really a makom chashiv. Show me a halacha that considers something that is pochos mi'arba to be significant. As a space. As a place, I mean. Not as a space. As a place. Whereas Mar Savar, whereas Rabbi Meir holds, I don't have something to show you that our pochos mi'arba is chashiv as a place. But I do have the concept to prove to you that pochos mi'arba is chashiv as a space. Because something which is shlosha tvachim is no longer considered to be closed, and it's therefore viewed as a space to itself. Now, there's a difference between a space to itself and a place for itself, and that's the machlokas. So Rabbi Meir holds, kiven de nafkilu mitorat lavud, since in terms of spatial descriptions, it's no longer considered to be one thing. It's now entering into a different space, even though it's not a chosh of a place. That's where we need to start considering the idea of the schach posel, because it's similar to tikra, because the idea of tikra is not related to the chashivas of its place. It's related to the way in which it fills the space. Isn't that true? And therefore, if it's filling the space with something that is used to fill the space of a roof, then it's similar to a roof. And therefore, I don't need what you demand as a criterion that I should find in the halakha somewhere that four pochos mi'arba is considered to be a chosh of a place. I never said it was a chosh of a place. Okay, so we have a fundamental different tvisa, the way that Shmuel is understanding the machlokas, between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda as to how to understand the more profound elements of Gzeirat Tikra, and it relates to the subtleties of what the halakha considers to be a space and what it considers to be a place. Now, if we take a look in our Mishnah, it seems very much to be meduyak that Rabbi Yehuda does hold of Gezerat Tikra, and that therefore Shmuel is correct, and that the only machlok is as to what is the shear of Gezerat Tikra. That's the question. Now, also, as any Rebbe worth his salt will tell you, that your eyes need to be open with complete and total happiness, not glazed over and not partially asleep, in order to glow and bask in the glory of the Or HaTorah, and therefore all we need is a little cold water over there. I'm going to have a little mechanism over that bed where I just push a button and we get a bucket. Or we got to leave it to you to handle. Yeah, okay. Shouldn't open myself up. Anyway, so now the Mishnah itself seems to indicate that Shmuel is 100% right and that Rabbi Yehuda holds of Gzeirat Tikra, because look, it says at the end of the Mishnah, Natana le'anesa shurachav arba'at tvachim k'sheira, u'bavan sholi yisham tachtav, you can't sleep under a board of four tvachim. Now, the Mishnah says that as a blanket statement. It certainly is not mashma that that statement is part of the machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. You introduced the thing with the machlokas, and then you said that if you do take a board that is rachav arba, don't sleep under it, which is mashma. Everybody holds that you can't sleep under it, even Rabbi Yehuda. Why would Rabbi Yehuda hold you can't sleep under it if he doesn't hold the Gezeiras Tikra? So the way that Rav is learning the Mishnah, this last piece, which seems to be saying that all of the Tanoim above are agreed about this, it wouldn't be true, because according to Rav, there's no such thing as Gezeiras Tikra Liban Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't that prove Shmuel? So Bishlam al Shmuel, according to Shmuel, who says that Bishain Be'em Arba'a Machloket, but if there is Arba, then even Rabbi Yehuda is made, huh? That there is a psul of Gzeiras Tikra, Mishum Achilo Yisham Tachtav. That explains why you can't sleep under it. Because even Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not kosher Sach. But according to Rav, who holds that the Machlokes is only B'sheyesh Bem Arba'a, and that Rabbi Yehuda completely rejects the din of Gzeiras Tikra, so then if Ein Bem Arba'a Divrei Ako Kishera, so then, Rabbi Yehuda, my lo yishan tachtav. I don't understand why you in the world we would say such a thing. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't sleep under a perfectly kosher piece of schach. Well, what would that possibly mean? No, says the Gemara, look, I mean, you made an assumption. You made an assumption, now you're using it to disprove Rav. I mean, maybe the Mishnah, your assumption that this last piece of the Mishnah is independent of the aforementioned machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, it ain't necessarily so. Maybe the Mishnah is simply saying, and Alibeder Rabbi Meir, who holds that it's possible in terms of Gzeiras Tikra, then it would still be usher, even if it's only one board, to sleep under it, even though it's kosher because of Dofen Akuma. So Misavart Divrei Akoli, the Sefer is coming to tell me, Alibeder Rabbi Meir, but Ein Achinami, Alibeder Rabbi Yehuda, if you hold of Rav, what's the problem? There's no din of Gzeiras Tikra. Tashma. So let's take a look at this braita. You tell me how you're going to work out this braita, okay? According to the way you're understanding the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, it says in the braita like this. Suppose you put two sheets. Now, a sheet is mekabel tuma, right? So you take two sheets, you put one across a thin sheet and another thin sheet, each one of which is less than the shear that would pass on the circus, so each one of which is less than four tvachim. But when you put them side by side, now you've got four tvachim. Now, this has nothing to do with Gzeiras Tikra. This has to do with the shear of four tvachim that can passel a sukkah in its entirety, according to one of the Man Yomrim, as we'll see. So if you have two sheets of material like this that run down your sukkah that make a total area of four tvachim of non-kosher schach, so then there'll be mitztaref to passel the sukkah, because it's mitztaref to arba tvachim. Whether that means the entire sukkah or this part of the sukkah, that we'll see in the machlokas later on. But the equivalent case of two boards each of one was less than four tvachim, two boards would not be mitztaref. And Rabbi Meir says, no, even two boards are mitztaref. Now, can you explain this according to Rav? I mean, I would not understand. According to Shmuel, it makes perfectly good sense. I mean, Shmuel says that where you do not have four, that's where there's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. Okay, so then we're talking about like this. Can you actually take two boards and make them an area of four, right? So then according to that, when you're saying it's mitztarefim, what would it mean to be mitztaref two smaller boards into four tvachim in order to pass the sukkah? So Bishlam al Shmuel di Omer b'she'in b'em arba'a is the machlokes, but if yesh b'em arba'a divrei akol psula, so then when it says over here that Rabbi Meir says they are mitztarfim, what does it mean they're mitztarfim for? They're mitztarfim to the total area of four tvachim that can passel your sukkah. But, I mean, according to Rav says that the only machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is where they already have four. But if they don't have four, even Rabbi Meir agrees that that's normal schach. So what the heck is mitztaref mean? What are we talking about? So to explain this case, okay, what is the Braisa saying? When it comes to boards, they can be mitztaref. Mitztaref for what, for heaven's sakes? If they already have four, and therefore you've got a problem, then you don't have to be mitztaref. You already have the four. And according to Rav, if they don't have four, then they're just kosher schach. So what are they being mitztaref to posel schach? How can you take pieces of kosher schach and turn them into posel schach because you put them together to four? That's insane. So then every sukkah is posel. So v'hakani ba'amaninu. If you're saying that it's less than four tvachim, so I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. It's the equivalent of using some cane or bamboo. So what are you going to say? That a lot of cane and bamboo is posel? So obviously, there's only one possible way to understand this braita, and that is according to Shmuel. No, I can make it work out even according to Rabbi Meir. I can say that the equivalent in boards, and by definition, of course, boards already mean that they're four tefachim, because otherwise they're not boards. Yeah. So the equivalent of boards to the sheets would be in a case where I'm trying to put together boards that are four tefachim, five tefachim, ten tefachim, whatever. And they are, says Rabbi Meir, mitztaref. Mitztaref, they're already puzzled. No, I mean mitztaref on the side of the sukkah, because you can use them as dofen akuma. That's all that I mean. So they're mitztarfim larba amot min hatzad, and that area is not going to puzzle the sukkah, and that therefore you should know that they're only going to pasul if you're mitztarif them to the shear of four amas. Then they'll pasul the sukkah because you no longer have dofen akuma. That's all that Rav is saying. And that they're not considered to be the equivalent of avir. They're tip classical schach pasul, which is considered to be the dofen akuma when it's placed to the side. That's all that it meant. And that obviously, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they're not mitztarif for anything. I mean, because the mitztarif would mean that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, what are you talking about, mitztaref? That's laughable. I mean, you can make the entire sukkah with them, l'chatchila, so what would they be mitztaref for, the pasul? And that would be the meaning of what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Well, of course it's not mitztaref, because there's nothing to be mitztaref for. It's plain schach. Now, there's another way that we said over this last piece. Lishna achrina is we said it like this. Bishlama l'shmuel d'yomer b'shein b'em arba amachloket. This works out very well according to Shmuel, who says the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir is talking about where you do not have four tefachim. But if you had four tefachim, everybody would hold its posel. So then I can understand mitztarfim means that they're mitztarfim. In this version, I understood up front that we're talking about mitztarfim. We're talking about whether they would be mitztarif to arba amas min hatzad, and that would be telling me that there is a din of tziruf. But according to Rav, who says that there is a machlokes only benogea arba tvachim, I understand that according to Rabbi Meir, you can use the word mitztarfim in terms of whether this chach pasul is mitztarf arba amis min hatzad. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, what does even the word mitztarfim mean? It's a joke. What do you mean mitztarfim? Mitztarfim for one, it's kosher even if it would have had arba'ah. So how can you say that you're going to be mitzarif tzchach kosher for what? So yeshbem, he holds afilu yeshbem arba amot it's ksheira. So then what do you mean mitzarfim? What would the word even mean? They're only kani ba'alma. Yes. Okay. And in this version, we answer it by saying yes. We understand that. But I mean, that's simply what Rabbi Yehuda is pointing out. If Rabbi Meir wants to come along and use a nonsensical word of mitztarfim, so Rabbi Yehuda is coming along and to say that they would never be mitztarfim because they themselves are kosher. That's why he uses that word, but it doesn't mean that he holds that there's something to discuss about it. There's nothing to discuss about it. Now, in reality, we have actually two braitot, one of which supports Rav's approach and one of which supports Shmuel's approach. So first of all, we have a braisa like Rav. And in that braita, we're going to see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no gzerat tikra at all, even if you've got four tvachim. Tanya kavasit Rav, sichacha b'nisarim shel eres, she'ein b'hem arba'at tvachim, divrei hakol k'sheira, there we go, So if it doesn't have four, they're saying word for word what Rav said. If it doesn't have four tefachim, nobody holds that it would be possible. That's Rav 100%. If it does have arba'a tefachim, then you get into the machlokes of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is posel, Rabbi Yehuda is makshir, and that's because, obviously, he holds there is no such thing as gzeirat tikra. That's what he's saying. I'll bring you a raya, continues the Braita. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll bring you a raya to what I hold, that you can use whatever size boards you want. There was once a time when the government said that you're not allowed to sit in a sukkah, and they would take anyone and punish him if he sat in a sukkah. So there was a maisa b'sha'at sakana, and we couldn't build a sukkah, so what did we do? We went out to the porch, and we brought these big boards, which were like wide boards. It looked like a regular roof. And hayabahen arba'ah, they were wide boards. And we made sechachnu agabahem ripeset, v'yashamnu tachtehem. So we built out an extra room. That's what it looked like to the authorities, that we built out an extra room on a porch. And we ate there for our sukkah, which, you see, that shows that there is no problem of sitting in a sukkah with boards that are four tefachim. Amrullo, oh, come on, man. Just the opposite of Misham Raya. Ain't Shata Sakana Raya. Understand how you're bringing a Raya from the fact that in the times of an emergency, so then we wanted to build our sukkah out of something that would be posel midrabbanan. Now, this is obviously a fundamental machlokas. Did the Rabbanan, when they were gozer, these gezeres, the pasul l'schach, did the Rabbanan make the gezera to be pasul even b'shat hadchak? Or did the Rabbanan say you can't make a sukkah out of this where it's possible to make a kosher sukkah, according to the Rabbanan? But the Rabbanan didn't pasul it at all. It's not that we're going to be doicha the Rabbanan to be yotze the diorisa, because according to that approach, that's not what we ever do. We won't be docha the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan were ma'amid divrayem afilu keneged divrei Torah. This is not a kosher sukkah, they declared. So then the question is, did they actually make such a blanket statement or not? Now, notice that earlier we had the big question about whether we use the lashon of lechatchila. Remember, under the Rabbanan, some had that girsa in the Gemara and some didn't have the girsa of the Gemara. That's what that girsa is nogea. Is a gezera derabbanan equivalent to a concept of lechatchila, meaning that if you have any other option, but that otherwise you could use it, or is there no such idea? So Reb Yehuda took for granted that an iser derabbanan was not made with a condition, so to speak, that under circumstances where you don't have any other possibility of having a sukkah, then we do not apply this gezera. There's no such thing. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda held that you can actually bring a raya from the Shas HaTchak. Masha Enkin, the Rabbanan who argue on Rabbi Yehuda, they say on the contrary. You can't bring a raya from a Shas HaTchak because this would mean that normally we would not have been able to use a sukkah like that. And that's why it was so successful in fooling the Goyim. They knew that nobody ever sits under a sukkah like that. So it was just a plain old-fashioned roof extension that went over a porch, you know. These people are always trying to get away with murder, these Jews. They probably just built an illegal extension to their home. That's all. Okay, so therefore, we find in this Braita, meanwhile, the bottom line is that in this Braita, we find that indeed it's clear that Rabbi Yehuda is saying the way that Rav understood it. There's no such thing as a Gzera Tikra. By the way, it's very interesting. In terms of the Halakha L'maisa, we end up paskening that you can use the psulim that were possible because of these gzeres derabbanan b'shat hadchak. And the way that we just explained it is really, I should admit, is a machlokas rishon. Because the nafka mina will be, do you make a brocha on it? So in other words, if the rabbanan were never gozer that this is a problematic sukkah, so then, of course, you make a bracha on it. It's a standard sukkah. If what we're saying is that they were not maimi divreyem kineged divrei Torah, but they still hold it's a posel sukkah, so then that would mean that you don't make a bracha, right? So, I mean, the Ritva says you definitely would make a bracha under circumstances like these, because it's built into the nature of the takana. But it's clearly, there are Rishonim who disagree, and so the Mishnah Berurah brings actually both, but there are Rishonim who disagree that you wouldn't make a bracha, but you would sit in it at least in order to be Yotzei, your Dioraita. This is a very, very different approach, but again, according to the Ritva, this is like a fundamental and very beautiful way of seeing the sugya. Now, we also have a Braita, like we said, in which Tanika Vate de Shmuel, and that according to Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that we do hold of the Gezeras Tikra, and that is that here it says, Sicha b'desarm shel eres, sheyesh b'hem arba'a. So let's say you use these cedar boards that have four tvachim in them. Everybody is bite it's possible. Whoops. Perfect like Shmuel. Even Rabbi Yehuda is bite that it's possible. So, ein b'hem arba'a, there Rabbi Meir posel and Rabbi Yehuda makshir. Now, another din that we also find in this bright that we didn't talk about, that Moda Rabbi Meir, she im yesh bein neser leneser kimlo neser, she miniach psal b'neihem ukshera. Rabbi Meir is made that in the event that between each one of these boards of arba'a, you put down tzchach, then it would be kosher. Now, this makes no sense at all, because there's nowhere where there's a circuit kshera. And the Gemara later on is going to explain it in a very curious way, okay? It's going to explain it as a sukkah that is exactly 8 amot wide. And the way that the guy made it work is that he started on both sides towards the middle. So he put down one of these four tvachim boards, then he put in four tvachim of schach, then he put in another four tvachim board, which means that the total of the 48 tvachim, 6 tvachim times 8 of these amot, would have meant that if he started on either end, he has an area of 8 tvachim of kosher sukkah on either side, you see. Because the tubes here, I just found a beautiful picture of this, and while I was looking, I found some beautiful pictures for the sugyas up until now, and I'm so sorry, I didn't realize that these nice sukkas were, these nice pictures were available. So let me just show you. I'll show you this picture, but once I'm showing you this picture, I want to actually, meanwhile, show you some of the others. Here's the picture. I hope you could pick it up well. Well, let me turn on the light here. So as you can see, there's a middle space, which is 8 tvachim, which of course is larger than 7 tvachim. And that means you've got a sukkah that's kosher in the middle. And then you've got, on both sides, you've got a dofen akuma. So even though those areas are certainly possible completely, and you can't sleep under anywhere except the middle of the sukkah, what you're doing over here is utilizing a classic dofen akuma situation towards the middle, right? So that would be why it would be kosher. It's very cute. Let me just show you some of the interesting pictures that we had. Remember, we were talking about the hunter's hide. They have a really cute rendering of that. See? Where you tie the leaves together on top, and you've got this wire that's going through the bottom, in and out. Perfect, right? It's very mamchish, very, very nice pictures of all of the sugyas that we had. They have the male arrowheads and the female arrowheads very nicely expressed there. And we'll see. Also, there's some pictures coming up that also work very nicely. So I'm really happy I found this just in time. Okay. So now we've got a braita over here that adds another din according to Rabbi Meir, and that he's made about this interesting case, that it's sort of this dofen akuma case with the middle 8 tvachim. And another halach is that Rabbi Yehuda would be made, that if you took one board that is 4 tvachim wide and you put it on the sukkah, it would be kosher, but you're not allowed to sleep under it. And if you did sleep under it, lo yatsa yedei chovato. Oh my God. So, I mean, that means that even though Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's kosher, but if it's 4 tvachim, it's not kosher. That only is true if Rabbi Yehuda holds of Gzeras Tikra. So this is like totally like Shmuel. Now, you should know that the bottom line is that we end up paskening. There's two ways that we get to this psak, because we can pasken like Rav, in which case the idea that it's and like Rabbi Meir, in which case only four tefachim is possible, right? Or we can pasken like Shmuel and hold that according to Rabbi Yehuda, in which case only four tefachim is possible. Now, it happens to be a machlokas rishonim whether we pasken like Rav or like Shmuel. But the shitas end up saying the same thing, because the ones who pasken like Shmuel end up pasken like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's only going to be possible if it's four tefachim, no matter how you pasken. So that's how we pasken. Except that, unfortunately, that psak got totally messed up in the Doras. And the reason it got messed up is because of those Rishonim who point out that in their times, the standard of construction did not use boards of four tefachim. And therefore, since we use smaller boards, it stands to reason that the Gezeiras Tikra would apply even to less than Arba Tefachim. So that became truly disastrous, because to that was added an additional problem, which is the Psak Halacha of those who say that if you use thin slats that are look like wood rather than look like sticks, that's different if it's processed wood. So then, Eina Chinami, it would be possible. Now, we don't paskin like that, right? In other words, we don't paskin that just because it's smooth wood and it looks like it came out of a lumber yard, it's going to be possible for Gezeiras Tikra. However, we do paskin, at least in terms of the minhag. The Mishnah Berurah brings that, you know, it's people are basically machmer, but those whose minhag is not to be machmer, yesh lem al milis smoch, and it's kosher, and you do find people that will sit under a sukkah that basically looks like a regular kind of close together slats that are nailed in, and they're almost like a regular roof because it's less than four tefachim, and mi'ikra din, that ought to be kosher. So they put together all of the heterim, you know, because even though Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Gemara, it's Masha, we were talking about that it wasn't processed wood. But okay, halacha l'maisa, it's not makabel tuma, it's less than arba tefachim, and it may be close together, but where did it ever say they're close together is possible? So then one never accepted upon themselves these chumras. As I said, most people are makbid to use dafka, the kosher schach, and if they're going to use boards, so they make the gezeiras tikra even, either if they're close together or nailed tight to each other, close to each other, with less than a shear of the shlosha tefachim between them. They don't use it, or if boards the size of a tefach, they say, well, nowadays we use even one tefach we use for a tikra, so they're makbid on a gzeras tikra, even for smaller boards. So lemaisa, we may paskin like the Gemara's pashtas, but the minhag is to actually end up being machmer. Now the question is this an actual psul in the material? That's the question. Suppose you took a board that was four tefachim wide, but you put it on its edge, and its edge was only 1 inch wide, and you covered the entire top of the sukkah. Once you know what it is, once you get these ridiculous pictures, you think that something is gained by showing a picture. That's one of the problems, because when it's so obviously stupid to show. But anyway, there's the picture, in case your minds were unable to perform that simple transform. You know, I think most people can do that, right? I don't know. All right, I'm sorry. Anyway, so you put them on their sides, and now you've got, that's not the way people make roofs, for sure. The question is it a pagam in the material innately at this point, and therefore it has nothing to do with how they make roofs, or is it actually a din in the way that it's being put up there, in that it looks like a roof? That's a big question. So itmar, hafachanat sidehem, what would be the din? So Rav Huna says, it's still possible. Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Rav Huna say, no, over there, it's kosher. So it once happened that Rav Nachman came to visit Sura, and Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Rav Huna went to see him to find out what he holds about this, whether he agrees with them or does he agree with Rav Huna. So they asked him, what would be the din of Hofchal Tzideyamahu? So he said, it's possible, because it's no different than using something that is innately possible. So let's say if you would want to use metal spits, right? Could you do that? No. Nasu kishpodin shomatechet. So since this is a material upon which the Rabbonin were geyser, the halacha of tikra, so we have over gzeras tikra, it's no different using them than it would be for using something metallic. So, okay, so then Reb Nachman pasked exactly like Rav Huna. So they came back and they told Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, well, I told you so. Lo armi lo armi kavasi, I told you to say like me. I mean, what did you think? Rulei, so they said to him, well, I mean, you never explained it to us. If you would have told us that that's the reason that nasu kishpodim shomatechet, I mean, we would have accepted. What are you angry at us for? You're at fault for not explaining yourself. I mean, you told us like it was some kind of, you know, oracle that it's puzzle. And why don't you explain yourself? Amarlu, you know, generally speaking, I always imagine that I'm speaking to human beings, not idiots. Now, if you didn't understand what it was that I said, human beings will say, please explain yourself because we're sure you're not saying something stupid. But you didn't, did you? You allowed me to think that you understood my reason and that nonetheless you didn't hold it was true and that the Gezeres Tikra doesn't work by declaring the material to be ipso facto apostle material. So, did you ask me, Taima? Did you say, well, what would be this svara? Velo armi lechu. So, you should have listened to me or you should have asked. So, can we bring a raya to this approach of Rav Huna and Rav Nachman from the following brisa? It says, Eina machazeket kidei rosh haruba v'shulchano. So one of the cases was a sukkah that's not big enough to include rosh haruba v'shulchano. That we know is possible. How about a sukkah that got a hole at the bottom of the wall, nifritza bo pirtza, that is so big, kidei shizdaka bo gedi bevat rosh. So now the wall is so far away from the ground level that you can have a gedi, you can have a kid that is able to just walk straight through without any problems. Okay. So then that would mean it can get under the wall, and that must mean that you have a three tvachim. That's the love would mention. We mentioned this shear in Shabbos as well. Or, now here's the part that's important to us. Or you took a neser that was four tvachim wide, but you only put three tvachim of that neser on top of the sukkah. Aha. What does that mean? Psula. Now, I'm assuming that that last piece means you took a four tvachim wide board, but it was only two tvachim in its depth, and you flipped it over on its side, and you put it on. So what's the case over there? It says it's basal. So you see, I mean, I'm assuming, you put it on its side. In other words, you used only three tvachim out of the four tvachim, meaning that the side was three tvachim, right? No, why does it have to mean that? Why can't it mean that you took one four tefach board and you put it on the edge of your sukkah, sticking out of the door, beyond the doorway? Okay, that would be the case. So then I would say, so you brought in three tefachim of this four tefachim board into the sukkah, and you had one tefach that was sticking out of the sukkah. And therefore, so, okay, but still, it's the same idea. If I don't have pasul schach covering my sukkah, what's the problem? Over here, it's not covering my sukkah. So, I mean, it's basically the same idea. You're saying that this is ipso facto schach pasul. It would be like I put my toaster oven along a line of toaster ovens up against the door of the sukkah, and I want to use it as schach. I mean, so what's the difference? No, the point over here is because it's psal ayotzim in asukah. V'cho psal ayotzim in asukah is nidan kesukah. Now, we'll have to assume that what that means, at least most of the Rishonim agree to this, that what that means is that one of the walls of the sukkah extended a little bit further. So you've got now, really, what would be the din if you have schach kosher, that's sticking out beyond the doorway of your sukkah, but one of the walls of the sukkah follows that schach along. Remember we had before the psal ayotzim in asukah is nida in kischach, and it's all nida in kisukah, and you're allowed to stand there and eat there, sleep there, even though you only have one wall? Okay, fine. But that means that the schach, in this case, is all four tvachim, genius. So that's what we're saying. Even if you only put on three tvachim of the four tvachim board, but since you put it at your door and you're able to now eat outside the door under the schach, so now don't tell me I didn't put it into my sukkah. You did put it into your sukkah because that's also part of the sukkah. But in a chinami, I would certainly be able to learn the case that the case is, if it would be on its edge, or really would only be the 3 out of 4 because you put it on the other side, and it wasn't Psal Yod, it was at the Dauphin, so then I would say it's kosher. You can't prove from your the thesis that this is considered to be a sukkah that is psula. Oh, well. Anyway, well, we did some very fascinating things today, even we didn't get into our Mishnah. Oh, boy. Got to be better. Got to be faster. But look, the bottom line is, this is a whole new sugya. Gzeras Tikra, and then we had Gzeras Otsar, and we went into the whole sugya of Tasev Elomen HaAtzui in terms of its Dioraisa, and where it would be applied as a Takona, the Rabban of Gzeras Otsar. So we've had some very, very rich Dapim, and there's sort of, you know, when you eat a really rich chocolate mousse, I mean, it takes longer to digest maybe. So, all right, we took a little bit longer time. When we get back to delicious gemaras that aren't that rich, hopefully we'll be able to go faster, and then Richie will be able to give us more of his intros. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful day. Thank you so much, Kol Tuv. Be careful how much of this stuff you eat at one time. And have a wonderful day of review.